You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Every study abroad program offers you a chance at discovery, a different culture, different country, new food, a course that teaches you something new. A group of students from Washtenaw Community College took discovery to a whole new level. They discovered priceless Roman artifacts during an archaeological dig at an ancient Roman fort in England. Dr. Christopher Barrett is the anthropology instructor who brought the students from WCC to the United Kingdom for this study abroad program. It's so good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
And we welcome Kim McGinnis, who is one of the students who is on this dig. Hey, Kim.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So tell us, Christopher, about this Roman fort where you were at.
The Roman fort that we were at is a little south of Hadrian's Wall. Hadrian's Wall was built in 122 AD. It was the northernmost part of the Roman Empire. And this fort was actually built somewhat before that, starting in about 85 AD. And it went through 9 different iterations, the first 5 of which were actually just wood, and then it later became stone. What we were excavating was actually one of the earlier iterations of the fort, something that was before they actually really got underway on Hadrian's Wall and really started establishing themselves in northern England.
And Hadrian's Wall, wasn't it really meant to keep those pesky Scots out of Britannica?
They weren't really Scots at that
they
point.
They were Picts.
They were Picts, but yes, it was meant to keep the Picts out. Mm-hmm. Really what it was meant to isolate what they had in Great Britain from what was the frontier. And this was the frontier of the Roman Empire, the northern frontier. So that's really what Hadrian's Wall was established at. There was another wall that was actually built slightly to the north of that, and then relatively quickly, it was abandoned a little bit later on, but it was really Hadrian's Wall that established that border.
And the name of the fort is?
Vindolanda.
Vindolanda. And this site has been under excavation for quite a few years, hasn't it?
Yeah. This site was originally purchased. I shouldn't say the entire site was purchased, but a nearby property was purchased by a man named Robin Burley in 1929. It then kind of passed on through his family, and now his grandson, Andrew Burley, is actually the chief of excavations at Vindolanda today.
And it's yielded a lot through the years, has it?
Well, it's the best preserved of the Roman sites that we have because the unusual conditions that they have at the site tend to isolate a lot of those cultural materials in anaerobic strata. So they're sealed between 2 layers of clay, and you don't get the kind of decomposition you find at other archaeological sites. For instance, they found 650 sets of Roman shoes. I don't know of any other place in the world where they've actually found that many shoes. And you'd think that there's not a lot you can learn from shoes, but you can tell whether it was a man or a woman's shoe, whether it was a child's shoe. They're actually getting some idea about the demographics at the site just by looking at the shoes that they pull out of there.
That's stunning. Well, Kim, I have to start right out. What did you guys find this summer?
Well, I would like to say there's kind of 2 general categories, if I may, about finding these artifacts, what we call general finds and small finds. The general finds are going to be things that you kind of anticipate finding at the site. For example, if you're digging in what is known to be a trash heap, you're going to find animal bones, leather scraps, things of that nature. That's not to say it wasn't exciting, though. The first time I pulled a cow's jawbone out of the ground, it was half the jawbone. It was this huge piece. And I'm just like in awe and I'm thinking, this is so incredible. And there was a group of Canadian students that had been digging on the site for a few weeks at that point, and they were just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's a big one, but, like, we found a bunch, you know? So just put it in the bag with the rest. But and it did get a little commonplace after a while, but it was still incredible. And then the small finds are not necessarily small in terms of size. What they indicate is more of a uniqueness, something that's not necessarily expected. Small finds are what's going to end up in a museum. Mm-hmm. And my first thing that I personally found that was a small find was a wooden jar lid, about the size of a silver dollar. The jar itself did not find, but just holding this wooden lid that, to be quite honest, had no cracks in it. It was very obvious where the indentation was, where it would have sat on top of the jar. And there was absolutely nothing I could glean from it to tell what would have been in there. But my mind just went racing. Was it, you know, a salve for medicinal purposes or perhaps makeup or foodstuffs? Or it could have been all of these different things that, like, just kind of took me back in time a little bit to try and figure out what would this person have used this for. A few days later, actually, I believe the next day, I found a copper alloy stud. And that was incredible because it's this tiny little stud that looked almost like a stud earring. But it was still, after being in the ground for almost 1,800 years, super shiny, and it's just on the ground. It was right beneath my feet as I was walking through the dig site. I just happened to look down, and there's this little shiny thing, and I pick it up, and it would have been used to adorn a piece of leather or something like that. And at the Vindolanda Museum, they actually have a few examples of scraps of leather with several studs still on them. So that was incredible to see. And then, of course, we got to the Roman tablets,
Exactly. So the pièce de résistance, the Roman tablets.
Yeah. This is one of the few places that you can find written language this old in the United Kingdom. And this is really the oldest example of written language in the United Kingdom. The oldest example of a woman's handwriting in the United Kingdom as well, which is kind of significant. And these were just things that people had written, and they had been thrown out, just like trash, you know, like our own.
You write a shopping list and throw it away.
Yeah. And that's really the amazing part about what we found this summer is that they usually don't find these. They usually don't find them intact. The last time that they found this many of these tablets intact was 1992. So it had been a long time since they'd had this kind of yield come out of the site. And in the one section we were working, this sort of waterlogged trench that we were working in, we recovered 25 of these tablets.
What are they made of?
They are made of a variety of types of wood. Some of them are made of pine. Some of them are made of oak as well. The really amazing finds, though, are what are called confronting tablets, where you actually have two pieces of wood which are folded in on each other. And that has the greatest chance of preserving the actual handwriting and the actual language, which
stands
are on the tablets.
Reason, yeah.
And as I understand it, they're already actually starting to extract some of the actual language from these tablets in that kind of painstaking process of trying to curate the materials after they get them out of the ground. So it was really exciting, and I didn't find any, but my students did, and they found quite a few, as did some of the Canadian students. It was just amazing.
What's that moment like?
I mean, to start, the moment is to kind of explain how we were digging on the site, you'll be down in the trench. There's 2 to 3 people with shovels and buckets, and the soil is very wet and dense, clay matter and other things. So they're cutting it in chunks and sections, putting it up to us, and there's the majority of people on the surface next to wheelbarrows, and we're very carefully breaking apart everything to search through it. So you are sitting in front of this wheelbarrow covered in muck, and you happen across this little bit of wood, and it may be the wood matting that would have been the flooring of that time, and we went through a lot of that. Or shingle, or just random bits of just odd wood. And so we had our instructors, Andrew Burley, there was also Penny and Beth and Marta, and they were available for us to kind of approach and say, okay, is this wood or is this more important wood? And that was the moment where you really start to get, because then you see them looking at it and it's real small pieces, but they're hemming and hawing and really trying to decide. And it got real interesting when Penny had to go talk to Andrew, because Andrew Burley being in charge of the whole thing.
He's Mr. Big.
Yeah,
yes,
they had been working on the site for many a year with him, so they were very well versed in what these tablets look like. But sometimes they just wanted to get that double check. And when you saw Andrew's head start to nod up and down from across the site, that's when your heart really got racing, because you are finding something that could contain who knows what. It could be some personal message. It could just be a list of goods that are requested, or we need more beer or something like that. And it's just, you just get so excited. It's incredible, just incredible.
Do you find yourself thinking that the last hands that touched this were over 1,800 years ago? It could have been some Roman centurion. It could have been a Roman foot soldier.
Yeah, I mean,
who knows?
You are the first person to touch this artifact or this little bit of leather or this, you know, this stud. You're the first person to touch that in almost 2,000 years. You know, I mean, 2,000 years ago, there was not an England, a Scotland, you know, in Ireland in the modern sense. You know, we're talking about a place that's not anything like it is today, and that just boggles the mind.
But I think what is like today is when you start to get into the post-excavation preservation process of these tablets, where they're able to preserve the writing and then go, you know, with ultraviolet radiation and look at what is actually written on them and start to decipher it. And you start getting messages like, they're still working on the ones that we have found, but ones in the past, you know, they found it was a general's wife inviting another general's wife to her birthday party kind of thing. And it's that kind of connection that just, it seems so far removed in time from you, but the message is so familiar to how we live our lives today. And I really think it's important to remember that, because I think a lot of people approach history with this, you know, it just feels so distant and it's so not, you know, related to me. But these are still people that still live their lives and loved and had friendships and wrote to people they cared about, just like we do.
Well, congratulations on making some archaeological history with discovering these tablets at the Roman fort at Vindolanda. Very, very exciting moment. I can only imagine what that was like. Kim McGinnis, one of the students who helped make that discovery, and Dr. Christopher Barrett, anthropology instructor at Washtenaw Community College. Vindolanda, an ancient Roman fort in the north of England. Thanks to both of you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.